Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the gospel lesson you heard read earlier that concludes with these words. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell among the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed, you read articles all the time about people who don't want to get involved. They stand idly by, or they turn their heads away, or they actually run from opportunities to help someone in need. More than once, you've probably heard these people being compared to the priest and the Levite of Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. There is a temptation to diminish Jesus' parable to simply another example of people who did not want to get involved. But there is much, much more to Jesus' lesson. Jesus, in fact, is teaching us about mercy. He was teaching a man who was an expert in the law about mercy. Jesus' parable, the Good Samaritan, is not a simple morality play telling us what would Jesus do or what we should do. It fits very well, in fact, after our sermon that we had last week. You recall that the Apostle Paul compared the glory of the law with the surpassing glory of the gospel. The man who came to Jesus was an expert in the law. But Jesus prepares him with this parable to receive the gospel. What Jesus says here to the man is pure law, but it is preparatory so that the man would come to appreciate what God's mercy really means in our Savior Jesus Christ. Go and do likewise is not only something that we are to do, but really is a picture of what God has done for us in Jesus. And so this morning we look at the fact and remind ourselves of the fact that no one can justify self. The law cannot justify us. God's mercy alone justifies us. We cannot, of course, peer into the man's heart and discern his motivation for standing up and addressing Jesus. But we do have his own word. Luke tells us in the gospel that on one occasion an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. And the man's own word was a test where he said to Jesus, "What must I do to be saved?" It was a trick question. What would this prophet who was going around saying that you have eternal life only through faith in him have to say about the law that says you have eternal life by obedience? This man was going to count on his obedience for his salvation. And so he asked this question, and then he asked a follow-up question. The first question was that, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" We might ask ourselves, why didn't Jesus give him the same answer that Paul and Silas gave to the jailer at Philippi when he asked, "What must I do to be saved?" The answer lies in the conditions of the men's hearts, which were quite different. The heart of the jailer at Philippi was terrified over his sins. This expert in the law took pride in his own righteousness. The jailer at Philippi feared God's judgment. This expert in the law did not have any fear of God at all. Now, it is true that we would have eternal life by the law if we were able to obey it. The man knew the answer when Jesus said, "Well, how do you read the law about eternal life?" And the man knew the law and said, "Well, you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." But here the man showed the chink in the armor of his self-righteousness. Rather than using God's perfect law of love to see that he had not done these things, he wanted Jesus to commend him for the selective obedience that he had shown others. And so he asks himself, "And who is my neighbor?" We can compare his question to the question that Peter asked Jesus when Jesus told Peter, "You should forgive people when they sin against you." Remember Peter's question. "Well, how many times should I do that? You know, I've forgiven people, but how many times do I really have to do it in order to do what you say?" Well, in effect, that's what this man was saying. How often do I have to love? Whom do I have to love to be in accordance with what the law demands? The man wanted Jesus to approve of his choosy compassion, to say that, well, what he had done, this partial love that he had shown by choice and by limitation, was satisfactory. But our Lord used an extreme to make the point to the man that in fact he had not obeyed the law. The man asked the question, "And who is my neighbor?" to justify himself. Jesus then showed him by this parable that he had not understood or loved his neighbor at all. And he did it by the extreme comparison, something that would have been rare, we might even say unheard of, that a Samaritan would have taken the time and the effort and spent the money to help a Jew. No one can justify self because the law cannot justify us because none of us have kept the law perfectly. And we see, as Luke records, that the man did understand what Jesus was saying. When Jesus told him this parable and asked the question, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" the expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." We don't really know what happened to this man, or whether or how Jesus followed up with him, but he had learned the lesson that when I am merciful to someone, I am a neighbor to them. That when someone is in need, that they are my neighbor, and I help them. Here is where Jesus brings in the gospel, if not explicitly, implicitly. Because it is not the law that motivates us to go and do likewise. The law helps us and guides us. It enables us to recognize that all people are our neighbors. But the being merciful part to our neighbor, that comes from the gospel. That is God's loving us. That is God's being merciful to us. So when Jesus says to the man, go and do likewise, the likewise doesn't refer to the Good Samaritan so much as it refers to God. So Jesus was really telling the man, it is that mercy that God has had for you in me, that's true mercy. And that's the mercy that we go and show to others. That unilateral mercy, that all-inclusive mercy that God has had for us in Jesus. Jesus is the perfect Good Samaritan when it comes to finding us hurting and not half dead. When Jesus came into this world, he didn't find us and all sinners half dead. He found that we were all completely dead in our transgressions. He came and he helped us. And in fact, he gave us that new life that we talked about last time. Jesus helped us not with silver coins, as the Good Samaritan helped the Jew, but he helped us with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death that he offered up for us on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ came into the world and took care of us. He came and he took care of our sins. And he took care of the damages that our sins do. And he paid that full price, whatever God demanded, in order for us to be spiritually healed and well again in the forgiveness of our sins. It is God's mercy alone that justifies us. And so, as we fail to love perfectly, as we fail to keep that perfect law of love and thereby earn our eternal life, God justifies us in Jesus. Jesus, who did keep that law of love perfectly. Jesus, who as a true human being did that which we cannot do, so that he could give that to us as our perfect obedience. It is in that mercy of God that you and I are justified. It is then when we see our needy neighbor that living in Christ's mercy and love for us, we cannot help ourselves but to go and do likewise. Amen. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Who provide training to leaders in Bolivia, Brazil, Colombia, Dominican Republic, Mexico, and Puerto Rico. Called the Latin American Traveling Theological Educators, or LATE, this training approach allows us to reach more souls than a traditional world mission effort.
I can only reach a certain number of people, but if I'm teaching 5 or 10 or 20 students to do the ministry, that number is just multiplying rapidly. It's such a blessing to see the joy on the face of these new believers as they are learning about Jesus for the first time, and their excitement to share that with their family, with their neighbors around them too.
Other work in Latin America includes outreach to orphanages in the impoverished nation of Haiti.
What are the strengths of our Lutheran heritage? Teaching children. So what God provided us in Haiti was access to orphanages full of these beautiful, precious little children.
Work in Mexico has been challenged by increasing violence in that country. Yet, our sister congregations are growing.
One of the things about being in the mission field is you get a first-hand glimpse every day of how important it is to share this special hope and peace that you have, because you know what Jesus did, and you see that need, you see that lack all around you. And so I don't want to leave Mexico. I want to be able to continue to tell people what I know and share that hope with others.
The very first Wells World Mission was on the Apache Reservation. Today, that mission continues with 8 congregations that have touched many generations.
I just thank God every day that He blessed my life for me to be able to hear His word, to understand who He is. He saved me from my sins. He saved me, a simple human being that does not know any better. He took me out of that darkness that I was in, and He showed me what His light had for me.
Wells World Missions, serving in 23 fields around the globe. It's a group effort that involves every Wells member, reaching out with God's grace in response to the Great Commission.
It's important to remember that there are many ways to support World Missions and other Wells ministries you care about. Providing gifts through Wells Foundation gives you options for investing in an endowment fund or a charitable gift annuity. For more, visit wellsfoundation.net. That's all for this month. God be with you. And as you continue to serve Him, always remember the Lord is with us as we carry on this precious ministry.